Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
Also joining us today from Tennessee is Kamal Saleem. Hello, Kamal.
Well, good morning and God bless you.
God bless you. We are so excited about having you on with Coom Ministries, and we have so many things to talk about. We're going to go right into today's program. I kind of want to set the stage for Kamal's testimony, a brother in the Lord, and man, when you see, you know what I'm saying, I'm not puffing him up or nothing. He's real. He's the love of God. But first, I want you to see his testimony, and then we're going to talk to Kamal. Yes, the VFNTV radio audience around the nation, around the world, and in the glory zone, we are going to have a chance to be able to talk and get insight about one of the greatest enemies coming against Christians and coming against non-Muslims in the nation. Take a look at this.
48% of the Muslim in the United States of America believe that they are Muslim first, they are American second. Our purpose is to change this culture because they're infidel and what they're doing is not pleasing to Allah, and we are the soldier of Allah who will make them do it.
Kamal Saleem was born in Lebanon to a devout Muslim family. As early as 4 years old, he remembers sitting at the kitchen table while his mother taught him about the Quran and his duty to Allah and jihad.
From my childhood, my mom said, one day you'll be a martyr, my son. You will die for the sake of Allah and you will exalt Islam. She said, if you kill a Jew, my son, your hand will light up before the throne of Allah, and the host of heaven will celebrate what you have done.
Kamal was 7 when his parents sent him to Muslim training camps to learn to use weapons and engage and kill the enemy. The boys were also taught another, more subtle form of warfare.
We were training for what's called culture jihad, which is shifting cultures. Culture jihad is, it's unlike the sword, unlike the rifle, it is the jihad that will come into your world.
By his 20s, Kamal was chosen to wage cultural jihad on America.
In Islam, liberty, freedom, monarchy, all these are idols, and these must be brought down. So the liberty that you have in the United States of America, it's anti-Islam. You know, so America must be changed. So I moved to the Bible Belt specifically. The Bible Belt was the strongest of strongest. That's where the stout Christians are. And I want to take on the best of the best because I considered myself as a sword of Islam. I thought I'm anointed, I'm unique, I'm selected. I'm coming to a country and a culture to change it, and I have the power of Allah with me.
In the early 1980s, Kamal entrenched himself in a small Midwestern town. He began targeting men from poor neighborhoods to recruit them to the Muslim faith. But one afternoon, his life would be in the hands of those he hated the most.
I was going from one place to another to do a recruitment, and that day I had a car wreck. The car wreck was so severe, I ejected out of my car, landed on my neck, broke my neck in 2 places. This man came running to me, and he said, don't worry, we're gonna take care of you, and everything's gonna be all right. The ambulance came and picked me up. And now I go to the hospital, the orthopedic surgeon in the emergency room looked at my chart and he just said, son, we are going to take care of you and everything's gonna be all right. The second day I wake up in the hospital and this head of physical therapy come and read my chart. And he turned around and he said the same thing word for word. We are going to take care of you.
At first, Kamal was frightened by their words because these men were all Christians.
You see, in terrorism, if they said we're going to take care of you, you'd better run.
Surgeries to repair Kamal's broken neck were successful, but recovery would take weeks. After being discharged from the hospital, he would need someone to care for him while he recuperated. Kamal had no one. So the orthopedic surgeon opened up his own home to this stranger.
In his home, they put me in the choicest room, in the most beautiful thing. I became like part of their family. They didn't see me any different. And now they have a basket set for Kamal. They put in money to free my bills from the hospital.
Kamal was overwhelmed with the outpouring of Christian love. As he recovered, he began to help out around the house with cooking and cleaning.
They have Jewish friends, they came from Israel, that they support, you know. And now I'm hugging Israelis and I'm cooking for Jews. and going, what has happened to me?
When Kamal was able to take care of himself and return to his apartment, the doctor had another surprise for him.
He said, this is the keys to the house, and here's an extra key. This is your new car. We just want to bless you. You can come anytime you want. So I go to my home, and I go to my cold place that I haven't been there in months, and dust is this thick. And I just got to settle this issue with my God to know that if it's real or not. So I walk inside, I shut the door, I go right in the eastern window, and I fall on my knees, and I put my hands to the heavens, and I cry up to my God. Allah, Allah, my Lord and my King, why have you done such a thing to me? I'm okay with the car wreck. I'm okay with all this, but why did you put me among Christians? I'm confused. These Christians and Jews, they're good people. There's nothing wrong with them. They don't want to kill us. They're not the same thing that I learned about them. Allah, these people have relationship with their God. These people, they cry out to the God and they answer them. I want to hear your voice. I want to hear you love me. If you're real, speak to me. I want to hear your voice. Guess what Allah said that day? Absolutely nothing.
Kamal felt that because he questioned his faith, the honorable thing to do was to end his own life.
So I went to reach out my guns and put it in the right place and clock out. I heard the voice. The voice knew me by name. He said, Kamal, 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 why don't you call on God of Father Abraham and Isaac and Jacob? And now I fell on my knees and I put my hands to the heavens immediately as I heard the voice. And I cried out with every fiber within me, God the Father Abraham, if you are real, would you speak to me? God the Father Abraham, if you are real, I want to know you. Well, God the Father Abraham came to a room, and he filled the room with his glory. And his name was Yahweh, the Lord is one. In his hand, he has holes in his hand. He has holes in his feet. His name is Jesus. I said to him, who are you, my Lord? Who are you? He said, I am that I am. I said, I'm a simple man with a simple mind. What is that supposed to mean? He said, I am the Alpha. I am the Omega. I am the beginning. I am the end. I am everything that is in between. I have known you before I formed the foundation of the earth. I have loved you before I formed you in your mother womb. Rise up. Rise up, come on. Come. You are my warrior. You are not their warrior. And I said to him, I said, my Lord, I will live and die for you. He said, do not die for me. I died for you that you may live.
That day, instead of taking his life, Kamal gave it to Jesus. He now has a new mission and travels the country challenging Muslims to question their allegiance to Allah.
My heart desire is to reach out for my brothers and sisters, the Muslim out there, 1.5 billion Muslim, that they are living out there and they have not tasted freedom and that freedom in God.
It's been over 20 years since Kamal left the Islamic faith, and even threats of violence and death cannot stop him from sharing his story.
He is real, you know, and if you never experienced God before in your life, if you never tasted God, and if you think you got nothing to lose, when you're sitting in your home, whether you're a Muslim or a non-Muslim or a non-Christian or whatever you are, say, call on God of Father Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and say, if you are real, speak to me, I want to hear your voice.
We are so excited about having Kamal here with us on VFN TV and talking about his brand new book, The Coalition, a novel. It's written with him and Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin, a man of decisive words.
Very much so.
And I just, you know, I'm excited about it. You know, it speaks of, you know, a projected vision, really, even though it's kind of, I like to call it faction or fiction. Ever since we saw your testimony, we're just excited. Don't forget, the book is The Coalition, a novel, written by Khalil Salim and Lieutenant General retired Jerry Boykin. We'll be talking about that. We're going to begin a conversation. But Kamal, we just want to welcome you to VFN TV.
Well, it's good to be with you. It's an honor to be with you.
Well, I just want to give you the floor right now and just share with us what's on your heart. And I have some questions for you, but I know that you're just so, your heart is so full, you know, what got your message, you know, to be able to bring it to us right now. And if you would just share with us what's on your heart.
Well, we created this book, The Coalition, specifically because the media has failed America. And now what we're seeing is the media has given wrong information. And then we see a lot of Christian leaders are not talking about the issues, and they are politically correct. They don't talk about what's taking place and what's the purpose of the church and what so have you. And then our politician, by far, whether they're Republican or Democrat, they have failed the people, specifically the church. And now we know that the church must arise. And God has given us what's so-called the ecclesia. The ecclesia means a parliament. It's to bring the divine order from heaven to earth, you know, to represent God's kingdom. Our job is to step to the forefront and declare the truth and make it plain as God has given it to us. So today we have an enemy here and has infiltrated the United States of America. And the unfortunate thing, even though that this enemy is so small in America, our current government has championed that enemy. You know, and that's radical Islam. You know, the right name for it will be the Muslim Brotherhood, you know, like, you know, Council American Islamic Relation, or ISNA, Islamic Society of North America, or Muslim American Society for North America. All these, they have been declared just recently by UAE and Saudi Arabia and acceptance of Egypt that they are terrorist organizations. But today, our governments sleep with them and champion them to the point that they have infiltrated our seven sphere of influence in the United States of America, affecting our children and the future of our civilizations, our constitution, our very laws and bylaws, and to the point that they have established a Muslim Brotherhood campaign right now and a party to start, you know, swaying this nation on election and what so have you. So they have established what's so-called shadow government to really do the Islamic invasion of the United States of America. Today we have a Trojan horse, and it has a multitude of seeds in its belly. And we need to shine the light, as you say, you are, you know, you speak in light, shine the light on that belly and show what's, you know, being the harbingers, you know, for this nation, what's about to come. The other part is, our nation is not just infiltrated lightly. Now they're stepping up their game to the point they are standing in our national cathedral. They are standing into our, you know, House of Representatives, where our sovereign nation has been declared sovereign. And America doesn't know when they came what they're declaring and what they're saying. And not just this, but also what they have accomplished by doing this, because historically what has taken place on 11/14/14, it is World War I against the Christians. And this is a declaration of World War III against America and its civilization. So we are in a place today, they are at war with us, whether we know it or not, whether we like it or not. They want everything we have. America is the great Satan. To them, we came to destroy the great Satan when I was on the other side. But I found out there's a great God watching over this nation. And that's what we need to do, is rise up and be his handwork, his you know, his mouthpiece. You know, all this, you know, God is capable to do it, but he needs our help. And we need to step up to the forefront and make the difference. Can we do it? Absolutely, yes. God can change things in a matter of seconds, not days or months. You know, all we have to do is be the nation that God called us to be and declare God is our Lord of our nation.
That's so awesome. That is so true. And I appreciate the urgency and the willingness to tell the truth, because I know that comes with a price. And, you know, when God called us to launch VFN TV and the daily radio program about bringing light, you know, because he commands us, you know, to be the light of the world, that it's not an option. And when we did, we knew that it was a walk to the furnace, but we also know that our God can keep us in the fire. You know what I'm saying? And when we just see your testimony and your truthfulness and your boldness and for truth, it's just truth. And It's exciting to us. It gives us just this great love for, you know, the Arab people and the Muslim people in regards to an empathy, understanding that they're trying hard to serve who they perceive as God. But when they find God, when they cry out to him, how their whole life will shift. And as a matter of fact, I know that you were at Morning Star, and the word that was spoken over you when they laid hands on you, I think we have that right here. I want you to see this, and I want our audience to see this as well, because it's so powerful. This is kind of what we believe it as well, too, is when they laid hands on you and they're talking about, you know, that you are a seed of, you know, going from Saul to Paul. As a matter of fact, take a look at this.
This is Kamal Saleem, and I amen. I felt like we were all supposed to pray that the terrorists of today become the Pauls of tomorrow. And so why don't you all stand up and let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we look at this man as the symbol of first fruits. That God, that there's passion and devotion and dedication, but it's not after knowledge. And we ask you that the passion and the devotion and dedication would be redeemed. And that men and women like this man Kamal Saleem, would be converted with a passion and a devotion and intensity, and that they would become the Pauls of our day. And Lord, we ask you that this man would be the first fruits of the Pauls of our day, that going into every area of nations that would resist the gospel, you would raise up 10,000s upon 10,000s of Kamal Saleems. Lord, we claim that today for the United States of America, for the Middle East, and for nations all over the earth. We believe you, God, for the redemption of this misdirected passion now to be claimed for the kingdom of God in Jesus' name. Amen.
So, so powerful. And that's how we feel, you know, Kamal, that you are a fireball where, you know, America didn't go into the mission field. God's going to bring the mission field to us now.
Yes.
You know, with the plans that the enemy meant for evil, guess what? You remember how that he had plans to do evil through you, but little did he know that he was going to lose you to God's kingdom. And now here you are helping the church in such a powerful way, to a level that we need to get to this level of knowledge and wisdom. And it just, hopefully our audience is going to be encouraged to understand that we need to embrace, we need to love, we need to be there in the context that God loves every man on the face of the earth. We got to begin to just pray for the people of the earth, and pray for those in the Middle East, and pray for those who are, you know, Muslim, understanding, you know, if they're that enthusiastic to who they perceive as God, imagine how enthusiastic they'll be to God himself when they have the same encounter that Kamal had when he cried out, is like, show yourself to me, and how loving he is, that when he thinks, okay, I need to end it all, the loving Father goes, oh, no, 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 don't do that. And he knew him by name, and he knows you by name. It's time for the church to be known for love and not hate and not bitterness. And we'll be talking more about that. Come on, I got some questions. Do you mind if I ask you some questions?
I'm right here.
Okay. There's only 700 of them, so just relax.
We'll start with number 700.
Yes. You know, this book, again, I just want to tell you, you know, it's a vision, I believe, for 5 years as I was watching them speak about it and beginning the journey myself. And although it's a novel, I think it's more like a novel in regards to, this sounds like you, Kamal, in the book. I mean, the seven-year-old boy, right?
Well, it's built on truth. You know, if you study, you know, Kershaw, you know, he is, you know, General Jerry Boykin life story in a way. And Omar, the man, it's my life story. So the things that we're talking about, although it is a novel, but all of it is truth. And the reason why we put it in a novel, that we can talk about more truth without, you know, borders, you know, and so we can speak it out loud and declare what's happening.
I mean, I was just feeling you, man. I'm reading this and I'm like, He's seven, and his dad's making him work, and he's saying, I wish you was a girl because I'd get rid of you. And then you had to work your way through the Sunni tribes. You had to work your way through the Armenians. And I'm thinking, man, you know, he needs to be rescued. And I thought, well, God did rescue him. And that my heart was just – and then I think about, you know, so many seven-year-old boys right now are going through your journey. And, you know, how can we reach them? How can we – you know, and that's where VFN TV mm-hmm. – and the Daily Radio program, we're going around the world. We mm-hmm. have, you know, listeners and viewers in Pakistan, Middle East, Iraq, Iran, Egypt. And it's the younger folks. The younger folks are going like, how do I, you know, help me, you know, what's going on? So here's a question I have. We're going to talk again more about the book in a moment. And we need to get a vision because I believe, you know, General Boykin said, he says, I'm kind of a more of a braver person in the book than I am in real life. He said, possibly. He said, possibly.
That is so true. Right.
and that's kind of how we learn nowadays, telling a story, mm-hmm. how to tell mm-hmm. a story. Because people, I mean, forever, that's how, you know, man learned. And now all of a sudden we try to give it in sound bites. So here's the question, one question I have for you. You know, last week or just yesterday, our audience heard you speaking at a conference where you were speaking about there's over 450,000 in the year 2010, over 450,000 radical Islamists who come over the borders of America. As a matter, do we have that? Do we have that clip? I want you to be able to hear this, and then you can respond to this because so many people are just kind of saying it's a kind of a moot point of going on. It's like, no, this is not moot.
That's right.
And this is 2010. As a matter of fact, watch this.
In 2010, the U.S. patrol border reported that nearly 450,000 Islamic terrorists crossed into the United States of America. 2010. And the numbers are escalating. And what happened, the reason why they know those numbers and they report them because they could not deport them back because Canada or Mexico would not take them back, so America is stuck with them. And America would not send anyone to jail, so what they have to do is give them a court date. And because we have no place and no money to spend on them, so they release them back into society and they disappear. And so what happened is, today America is in grave dangers. And why? Because they want to hurt the United States of America, specifically the church.
When we get back from this break, Kamal, I want you to talk to us about this because those are 2010 statistics, and we've seen a greater number come over. But we're going to go to this break. We're going to come right back because we are on the edge of our seats to understand what is the strategy, the second heaven strategy, the Ephesians 6:12 strategy, because the church needs to awaken. Kamal, talk to us. 450,000 radical Islamists in 2010 over our borders in 2010. And we know what's happened to our borders. Talk to us about that. What does that mean? And the target, you say, is the church?
Well, we see what happened overseas when we talk about ISIS or ISIL. You know, people knew it by ISIS, and then we hear our president and many, you know, leaders talking about ISIL, you know, the Levant, and the danger of this place. And what they're trying to really establish is to try to establish the Islamic State. The Islamic State must have influence throughout the earth, you know, to bring down every other nation because they have a great commission. The great commission was given by Muhammad to the Muslim. He said, "Inni umertu an uqatil al-shu'ub." He said, "I've been commanded by Allah to war against the people of the world until everyone says there's no God but Allah and Muhammad, his prophet." So therefore, what happened, he said, if they do not concede to you, then you have the rights as an inheritance to everything they have, their homes, their wives, their children, their finances, their land, their government, their constitution, everything that they have, it is your rightful inheritance. So therefore, when the Muslim are coming across, you know, they try, number one, is to fulfill the Great Commission. Number two, it is, it's called jihad. Jihad in Islam, it is it's the invisible pillar that many, the world doesn't know about, that invisible pillar that Allah commanded all Muslims to go into jihad. And jihad is not only a holy war by the rifle, but there's a political jihad. There is jihad of the womb. We're seeding the nation by bringing as many people as you can by birthing. There is jihad of finances. There is political jihad. There is jurisprudence jihad, which is, you know, what we saw on 9/11, intimidation. And then there is jihad al-taqiyya, which is to lie and deceive a nation. So all this is established specifically for one purpose, is to bring down the great civilization. We knew if America is brought down when I was on the other side, then the whole free world will fall. The war, we know that we're standing for, the church prays. And we know that the church is a radical remnant, you know. So we know that since they're praying, we need to move them out of the way, you know, and they have a fervency. And so crossing to the United States of America, they are here to establish, to change the United States from within. And they are crossing here. ISIS is in the United States of America. And now, because of this current government situation, that they favor radical Islam, they have opened the borders to allow OTM to cross over. What is OTM? It's other than Mexican. And so therefore, what happened when the amnesty bill took place, we've seen people come from Yemen, from Afghanistan, from Pakistan. These are radical people. And the minute they put their feet on the ground, they are declaring amnesty. So now when we see, you know, people are getting citizenship or a green card, this is the, you know, legalizing terrorism into the United States of America. We could not, we must disallow this. If you want to come to this nation, we got to have a process, and we do. It's constitutional process, you know, but you could not break those laws. So therefore, what happened is they are coming here specifically to put the pressure on this nation that if you're not going to bow to us, then we're going to hurt you. 9/11 happened and didn't wake up America. And we are set here for something greater than 9/11. If the church stop praying, if America stop stepping to the forefront, this last election was so important. And we saw out of everybody that voted, only one third of them were the church. Only one third out of everybody went to vote. The church became weak. She lost her identity, and she is on a run, and she doesn't know who God is. We lost our fervency. And our shepherds out there, they are the one who should lead the charge. Unfortunately, when we go to churches, they tell us, we don't want you to talk about politics. We don't want you to talk about all these issues that they are there. Just talk about your testimony. But here's the thing. Our testimony is what's taking place. And we need to wake up very fast, you know, because the time is really short. These 2 years that they're coming about, they are the most important 2 years in the history of the church in the United States of America. If we do not rise up and make the difference, I believe there's a judgment will, you know, come about.
You know, the Lord spoke, and I don't want to take too much of your time, but a word about Josiah, that you had Josiah, then you had his son that was appointed by Egypt, the second son, and his name was Jehoiakim, God's set man. And then you had Zedekiah, which was also appointed, and of course, his name means God is just. And what you're talking about to me, it's like we're going to get a Zedekiah over us who is going to bring us into Babylonian captivity if we don't repent. And and we do, I mean, there is plenty of times that God's people does repent. And we believe, we're seeing dreams and visions that people are going to repent. But we're also seeing, I mean, God is showing in detail that in prophetic dreams, of course, you heard Rick Joyner's dream, you know.
Yes.
And but we're seeing the battle is physical. He's showing us physical attacks on the land of America. And the day I delivered it, Kamal, the day I delivered it on VFN TV, and I didn't want to deliver it because most Christians don't believe in any physical anything in America, right. It seems like. And so here I'm about to deliver it, and I said twice, I said, it's going to be a physical attack because God showed me the particular a military situation, things happening. And as soon as I said it, Kamal, the place where VFN TV Studios is at, the entire county was hit. The fiber optics was hit. The electricity was hit. And it just made a huge impact. I mean, the moment I said it, and the studio went on generator, and we kept on going. Mm-hmm. But you can hear us on the air going,
are we on?
Are we on? Or are we dead? And God so confirmed it. And, of course, other words as well. And so it sounds like to me what you're saying is that this is going to get physical if we don't fall to our knees and get spiritual and say, God, we're sorry for our sin and begin to repent. you know, for what we've done. And of course, some of the things, the other dreams that are coming in from around the connected audience we have is that they're seeing jihadists walk up to their homes. I mean, God's showing them in one particular home in Houston, you know, God was showing them. And this is what was being said over the broadcast of the city mm-hmm. in Houston was, you know, you got to decide who your allegiance is going to be to.
That's right. Right.
It wasn't about, you know, some radical Islamist has power over you. It's the fact is who it's like Elijah on top of the mountain, right? You got to decide who's going to be your God. And so, you know, talk to us about, you know, it's time to, I mean, as loyal as people are for a God that's not a God, talk to us about, you know, having that kind of intensity for God, you know, in love, but just boldness. Because to me, when you talked about all these different pillars of jihad, you're talking about the seven spheres of culture, also referred to as like the seven mountains of culture. And they're effectively going after education, politics, finance,
and the church.
In the church, yeah, the religion mountain and all that. And it's like, we're just, you know, take the whole world and give me Jesus. We're singing. Mm-hmm. It's like they're taking us up on our offer if we don't wake up. I mean, talk about how does this pastor wake up? He's listening right now, and he's like, he's kind of thinking, hey, I might invite Kamal to come on, and I won't edit him. I just want, what's God saying? I mean, talk to the church about having this intensity of loyalty and allegiance to God.
You know, this is amazing. You know, that's a good question. This is the question for the 21st century, you know, the most important question for the church. Here's the story. God, Jesus said, he said three things. This is how will you know the signs of end of time. He said, it'll be like in the days of Elijah. It'll be like in the days of Noah. It'll be like in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. You know, and we are seeing the altars of Sodom and Gomorrah arising, and we're seeing the altars of all these, the Elijah, the altar Malik, you know, and the altar Jezebel, and are becoming to the forefront. Now, God gives a great to go in my name. The command that he's given us, it is not just to go, to get up and go. It's to engage. That's number one, is we need to understand that the church, it has never been called a church before. You know, it was changed in history, biblical history. That's when, King James changed it from ecclesia, changed it to the church. What is the original name of the church? It means the parliament. What parliament is to bring God's kingdom on earth, the purpose of God. And we are here to be the purpose of God, and we must engage, because the Great Commission will not be anything unless we take a stand and move up to the forefront. Now, saying all this, the story of David and Goliath is taking place daily, you know, and but many of the Davids are asleep, that God told go and do this. God commanded many of us, go and do this. And many times when God tells us something, we say, is that you, Lord? You know, we question him. And when we hear something really easy, we just said, well, the Lord spoke to me. You know, we question him on the authority, you know, thing. So the fervency that we need is to live as Christ and to die as gain. You know, and the fervency that we need is the fervent, effectual prayer of the righteous man availeth much. The fervency that we need to engage our political mountain. We need to step to the forefront. We need to hold them accountable. We need to tell them what we want. The church must say, we are here. We elected you, and we're standing and we're watching you. And then if you do not fulfill your purpose, then we will not choose you again. We must become a voice of power. In the Muslim world, when a mosque is open, I talked about it a little bit before, it's an embassy and it's a parliament. So when a mosque is open in non-Muslim nation, it becomes a place, it's called a occurring place, it's in Arabic. So therefore, what happened, it's a victorious place that you conquered into your enemy place. For example, when Islam entered Jerusalem, the first thing what they do is Umar ibn Khattab, when he went up to Mount Olive, what happened? He prayed there, and they put Al-Aqsa Mosque and Dome. And what happened? They prohibited God temple to be opened over there. And now when they come into our nation, what happened? The Islamists, the leaders, the imam, become the senators. And now they become the Senate, and the people become House Representative. So therefore, they are representing Islam on every level. They become lobbyists. They lobbying for Islam. So you see them are, even they are a small group, but they're continuously active in every level, whether it's politics or religious or education. They sit on a board of many board schools today. You see Muslims sitting on school boards. You go like, well, we have 300 Muslims in the area, you know, and there's several million, you know, Christians. Well, they are situating this, and now they are targeting the city councils as well. They are targeting all those places. Every place the church does not want to be engaged in, they are engaging. You know, when we evacuate, these giants are marching in and taking over. This is a spiritual battle. And this, now we're seeing, you know, the same story that took place with David and Goliath. We see God people sitting on one side, and we see the enemy sitting on the other side. But here's the problem. They're warriors standing in centers, and that's the creating God of heaven and earth. And the Davids, right now, they are still sleeping. They're still milking their sheep and making cheese and eating barley. They are not being where they're supposed to be, because this battle require victor's spirit. God has given us the victory because he's a victorious God. So we're not fighting for it. We're fighting from it. All we have to do is come and possess it. If you look at Nehemiah, he said, mighty man of valor, God called him. He said, you know, Nehemiah probably, if he had a mirror, he's going like, he must be talking to somebody behind me, because I don't know who this man is. Right. Yes, every Christian man and woman are mighty men and women of valor. Why? Because if God is in you, then who can withstand you? Who can come against you? And then he said, after he gave him all things, he said, this battle is not about how many soldiers you have. It's how much God is in your soldiers. And so therefore, he said, all I want you to do is step to the forefront. And when you show up, then the battle belongs to the Lord. So what we need to do is engage.
Totally awesome. I think about, you know, David said, he's like, is there not a cause? And it's like, there's enough cause right now for us to stand up. And we're going to go to a break and come back. We got some more questions for you. And hopefully, you know, you can stay around for our next program. I got more questions to be able to ask and talk about more about your book. And I want to just also speak to those that are out there, right? Those Davids that are in, you know, milking their goats and sheep and, you know, making their cheese, that to begin to call them out, you know, just begin. I want you to just be able to call them out, because we're going to begin to gather each of those spheres of influence and begin to believe that God's kingdom is going to come into their lives, into the kingdom and the government, into the finance, into each of these areas. You're just blessing us, and you're bringing such insight, because so many people just start talking without any wisdom. You know, Brother John Kilpatrick, Church of His Presence, is talking about so many people speaking without any knowledge whatsoever on a matter. Of course, Rick Joyner is saying the very same thing. Mm-hmm, you know, and you know, you bring some knowledge to you know, we should listen specifically to what you're saying and everything. We have a lot of questions. You know, one question would be, and before we go to this program ended, I want you to be able to speak over this glory zone and just, this is what I believe, because God established it. This is a network that God is building with our partners and sponsors right there, that it's just going to loose over the glory zone. You know what I'm saying? That all the televisions, cable, all the broadcast streaming, all those different aspects that will get it. And it's going to accomplish that what it set out to do. And so this question here I have for you is the president of Turkey, it looks like the Ottoman Empire is being reestablished again. President sent Iron Curtain to President Erdogan. He got in office declaring he's a racist towards Jews. I mean, that's how he got in his office, towards hatred towards Jews. Is this not correct? And does it look like to you that the Ottoman Empire, this ISIL, this Levant, is all part of all that?
Absolutely. You're absolutely right. Here's the thing. We have General Jerry Boykin and myself. We came with a new curriculum. It's called The Unveiling. The Unveiling, you can find it at coomministries.com. And it's six studies of the ugly truth and six studies of the beautiful truth. And we talk about all these nightmares that they've taken place in the ugly truth. And we talk about the solution in the beautiful truth. There is nothing like it out there. This, if you want to know what's happening and you want to understand, if you're a pastor, that's what a lot of pastors are showing it, you know, to their, you know, area, you know, their, you know, parishioners. But what's taking place today is it's the rise of Islam. ISIS is Babylon, you know, proper today. Babylon is rising all over again. This is exactly what happened in the days of Muhammad, days of Islam. You know, the prophecy was spoken in the book of Revelation that the Antichrist was slain fatally in the head. But he is supernaturally rose again somehow, and everybody was amazed. This, the Ottoman Empire was destroyed in 1924, but the Ottoman Empire has risen again. If we find out who is the power behind ISIS, ISIL, it is Turkey, because, you know, Erdogan just announced last week, he said America was discovered far, far before Christopher Columbus by Muslims. The Muslim built even temples in here, and they reached out to the Indians. This is what he's saying. I mean, this is, you know, this is the biggest plate of bologna ever. Hmm. You know, I mean, they are just creating, you know, I mean, bologna sandwiches over there. and so what we're looking at in here, you know, Islam is engaging. Islam, first, they prophesy something purposely. And they try to walk it out there because they put it in the perception of people understanding. And that's where the church perception need to be guarded by the spirit of the living God, because that's where the enemy is infiltrating. They have a wrong perception by being in wrong places, listening to the wrong thing. ISIS today is empowered by Turkey. Turkey is the gatekeeper to ISIS. And who is selling all the oil for ISIS and make them rich by the second, by billions of dollars? Turkey. So now what we see, Turkey is, you know, refusing to join the military forces to bomb ISIS. That tells you right away that Turkey is, you know, stepping to take the leadership. But nevertheless, the enemy there, it is the Muslim Brotherhood, and they have an agenda, and they are here to fulfill their agenda. And we need to be aware of this, how it's going to explode to the next level.
Well, I'm excited about you sticking around for our next program, because we've got so many questions to ask you and about the book. We're going to talk more about your book, The Coalition, yours and General Boykin's book. And we have some questions, some very specific questions in regards to, you know, why is our president partnering with the Muslim Brotherhood and this Cairo speech, and how do we respond to that as Christians? But right now, if you would, I mean, just, you know, picture, obviously it's not a mountain, but it is a sphere of the culture called government.
That's right.
And if you would right now, with the authority that God's given you to be able to deliver this word to the nation in regards to our adversary, you know, and we'll talk too about Michelle Bachmann, Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann, how she said that the FBI has removed all of our enemy from our libraries.
Yes.
That's next program. But just pray right now, if you would, over the Gulf Coast, over our audience around the nation, over this, you know, rise up, David, and begin to move in your place of government, if you would.
Holy Father, we thank you that you are a sovereign God, and your word has been established. He said, you are, I am God who knows the future from the past. Father God, as you altered all this, your story, Father God, we declare and decree, Father God, that the church will arise and shall not die, that the church, Father God, will be a mighty force in the United States of America and over that region, that they are, you've given the sphere of influence, Father God. I pray for the pouring out of the Holy Spirit with a new anointing of fire and power for the last days. I thank you, Father God, that even now, that as the church about to walk into the fire furnace, Father God, we stand on your word that it is not by might nor by power, but by your Holy Spirit. So we ask you, Father God, for the cloud of glory to cover that region, Father God, that now your word will come and will feed the masses, Father God, and your truth will be released, Father God, and a new revival will take place. And I pray in the name of Jesus that the shout will come from heaven, and the the horn will be blown and a great awakening will take place. I thank you, Father God, for the spiritual earthquake, Father God, under your children's, your sons and daughters, Father God, that will come about, Father God, and revive us with the truth, Father God, that will remove the fears from our eyes, that they will be unscaled. And Father God, I ask you for your great commission will be revived and your fire will be built in us, and out of our bellies will come rivers of the living water, Father God. I thank you, Father, for preparation for the church to move, Father God, in preparing to cross, Father God, this time into the promise that you've given us, that you are coming back soon. So, Father God, we thank you for the promised land, and we thank you for your hope. But before this, Father God, we ask you to give us the price, all of it, to carry with us, the souls of men, Father God, specifically these Muslim men and women out there. Give us the souls and give us the harvest and give us the glory. In Jesus' holy and mighty name, amen.
Amen.
You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN-TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN-TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFN-TV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.